It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show, Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. Our Twitter question of the day, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation, PI. DentalCenter.com. This OC hire by the Eagles, should this be about Jalen Hurts and making him better and what's the best for him? Or is it about the best offense? Hugh, how do you think the voting came down on this one?
What was it again? Y'all say it.
So
say it again.
Is the offensive coordinator search, should it be about the just finding the best offensive mind or finding the best person for Jalen Hurts?
Finding the best offensive mind.
You know, I'm proud.
70%.
I'm proud of the people today, Hugh. They're with us. 79% say the best offensive mind. 21% best for Hurts.
There's a caveat.
Oh, what's that?
Because a lot of the people are like, it's the same thing.
Well, it's not. It's not.
Yeah. Of course it's not.
No, it's, well, I mean, and I thought Jason detailed a lot of interesting things there. He doesn't think it is, right? I mean, there's two separate. I mean, we went point blank about it. Like, the McVay-Shanahan offense, Jason doesn't think that would be the best offense for Jalen Hurts. But there is a real chance that when they bring all these people in for interviews, one of the people from that tree is the best person they interview. And they have to make a decision. Is it about just the best mind, or is it melding this thing with Jalen Hurts? All right, back to your phone calls in a minute. But a little update here on the Beau Bichette rumors for the Phillies.
What we got?
Well, as of yesterday, we know the Zoom meeting went well. The Phillies, according to Matt Gelb, are looked around baseball as the favorite because they might be the only team willing to go to 6, 7, 8 years to get this done. Let's hear from John Clark on his podcast about the interest between the two parties.
Hey, Phillies fans, this interest in one of the best free agents out there, Beau Bichette, I am told it is genuine. The Phillies are genuinely interested in him, and the Phils believe that Beau is interested in the Phils. I'm told that Zoom meeting yesterday went very good. It was a get-to-know-you meeting. I'm told there have been no contract talks yet, but the interest is genuine. And the relationship with Don Mattingly, with him and Beau Bichette from Toronto, it is very important. And Don speaks very, very highly of Beau Bichette. Stay tuned, everybody.
That's pretty cool.
Stay tuned, Hugh.
Just, you know, my mind wondered, what does that mean? Hey, just getting to know you. So what is your favorite color? You know, what do you like to do in your off time? You know what I mean? Do you like flowers? Do you like to go for long walks in the park? You know, stuff like that.
Based on your sarcasm, I'm guessing when you went on your free agency tour, it was...
Somebody asked me what I was like, man, what kind of money are we talking about?
Now, do you think that was...
Let's get to the good part.
Well, that might have been more about you than it was.
It was. Like, listen, you ain't got to... You ain't got to blow smoke up my glutes. I just need to know what type of bread we talking about.
Yeah.
You know, we can go out and eat and have a great time, but at the end of the day, let's talk about this money.
Show me the baby.
Show me the baby. I don't want to hear about the labor pains. Hey... So you like? Do you like Lululemon or Levi's? You know, stuff like that.
What's your opinion on that?
Do you drink breast milk?
I'm not. I was about to say, first of all, I ain't drinking no mess breast milk. Damn sure ain't wearing no Lululemon. You ain't get my big ass in no Lululemon. I'm more of a sweatsuit kind of guy.
What's your take on rivalry packs?
Rivalry packs. It all depends. Not gonna wear those when you're not doing well. You know, not gonna do that. What's my thought?
Maybe just avoid them entirely.
What's my thought on snickerdoodle protein powder?
Oh, let's not go here.
Can't wait to try it.
Let's not go here.
Still waiting for that price to drop. Oh, you know what's going to happen when we go to Clearwater?
What's that?
I'm asking for some snickerdoodle. Protein powder.
Yeah.
That's going to be the first thing. If we get a chance to talk to Bryce Harper,
snickerdoodle.
Like, yo, dog, what's up with that snickerdoodle?
All right.
Come on, big guy.
Come on. Hey.
Of all the offseason questions, like everyone's going to be waiting, hey, about you and Dabrowski, he was like, hey, can I get some free snickerdoodle protein powder?
What's up with that snickerdoodle, man? When you going to drop the price on that protein powder?
Okay, so before we get back to all your phone calls on the OC and Hurts and all this stuff, here, one more piece of news that is, I think, important for the Phillies' pursuit of Beau Bichette. So obviously we want the Phillies to get better, right? They want to get better. They were a really good team last year, not great enough, and Beau can help them get there. But Hugh, it's not always just about the Phillies, right? It's about what the league looks like. And the Mets have an offer on the table, reportedly, to Kyle Tucker, who entering the offseason, he was looked at as the number one free agent. He's probably the best overall, all-around player.
Mm-hmm.
According to reports, they have an offer on the table to Kyle Tucker, ready for this? At an average annual value of $50 million per year. So, I mean, it sounds like it's a short-term deal, so he'll have to decide if he wants long-term or short-term, but I mean, if anyone's offered $50 million a year, there's a chance they accept it. So the Mets might get a lot better very quickly in a matter of days.
They got bread, too. Yeah.
Sure do.
Yeah, they got bread.
We got to get better.
So that's what I'm saying. Well, I don't understand the getting to know you process. What do you need to know?
You're saying, like, just get the deal done with Bo.
What do we need to know?
Hung up on that.
No, I'm just saying, what do we need to know? Hey. You know?
Well, he is.
Like long walks in the park?
It is baseball.
I get it. It's different.
Major league buddies.
Yeah.
I think he is on his honeymoon, too, so maybe he...
He just got married?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe they didn't want to go through the whole...
Well, I guess his family, too, and being here in the city.
Yeah.
And his wife's probably looking for places to stay. What side of town?
Of course.
There's some nice baller-ass cribs around here, too, if he needs some help.
They should bring you on the Zoom.
Oh, yeah, to help me find a house, too. But almost guarantee... What the house they looking for and the one I'm looking for, we ain't in the same strategy.
No. You don't live in that cul-de-sac anymore.
I ain't living in that cul-de-sac.
All right. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Daniel in Allentown, who's up on WIP. Hey, Daniel.
Yeah, how you doing? Nice to talk to you guys.
You too, Daniel.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. All these quarterbacks in the NFL, if their offensive line's not doing so good, how do they do?
Not great, but
not great. What are you talking about? The Chargers. Yeah, they got beat.
But
down
Daniel, the pass protection was perfect on Sunday.
Yes, I just thought that we had no shot. I thought we were going to lose. I did want to say it, but I just thought we weren't ready. And I think the way they were playing all year, I just think maybe you got to get some competitive juices behind Hurts. Maybe you got to get a good backup behind him that could say, if you don't step it up, we got somebody right here ready to take your job. I don't know if that works because he had that thing in college, but and what receivers are available? That's the next thing. Because I hear that we're getting rid of A.J. Brown, and I don't really like the idea because I think he's still a great receiver.
Danny wants to get this whole offseason done today.
You know what? Yeah. I like it. He's proactive. So, yeah, I mean, Daniel, as far as free agent, I doubt, and Daniel, good phone call. I doubt they're going to spend on a wide receiver in free agency. They have two high-priced receivers. And they have to start worrying about paying the defensive players. But do I think they could draft a receiver relatively high? Right? I mean, like, AJ could be out of here. And they don't really have a third receiver that is entrenched. I mean, Dotson's a free agent. And I guess Darius Cooper's going to be here as a third or fourth guy. But, Hugh, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a receiver somewhere high in the draft.
Yeah, I think all across the board. You know, one thing that they're going to do at the end of the season, Joe, they're going to watch the film. They're going to watch that last game in particular. And, you know, just like Jason talked about effort, the coaches probably see the same thing that he does. So now you got to bring some guys in here that are going to push the other guys. It's something to be said about being complacent, you know, and we talked about it and we kind of, you know, touched on it all season long about them being complacent. Yeah. So I think you need to light a fire under everybody.
I thought it was pretty telling, Hugh, the way Jason described watching the film again, that the lack of effort. And his perspective that maybe A.J. Brown's personality or emotions kind of rubbed off on the team. The way we kind of talk about sucking the oxygen out of a room. You know, when we talk about the idea of them trading A.J. this offseason, it's not going to make, like, perfect sense in terms of football, right? He still is really good.
Well, hold on. Jalen said they were in a great spot.
Well, that's wonderful. Did he play like they were in a great spot this season?
Dude, they're going to be sitting courtside of the Sixers game.
Oh, can't wait. Just like Wentz and Alshon?
Yeah.
Like nothing ever happened. But if the Eagles feel that he sucked the energy out of the room, like that's part of the equation on why he might not be here next year. We shall see. Let's go to Doug and Ridley. What's up, Doug?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Doug. What's up?
I just think myself, I think Jalen's a little too smug. I think he's got his Super Bowl. And, you know, I just don't think that... You know, he can't look beyond his primary receiver and find that, and it just plays it where he just decides he's going to, you know, run his own thing and not pay attention to what's being called.
Well, the way you frame that perspective, I mean, Hugh, that's kind of when the stuff started coming out this season, right? Like the scenes, like that he doesn't run the play always the way it is called. That's what that sounds
like. I think, you know, as far as smug, I think they were all a little smug. I think Coach Sirianni was a little smug. I think AJ, I think they all came into this season with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. So, I mean, I just don't put that on Jalen.
No, but I mean, there's times like when he runs to the sidelines, like on that last series, you know, I think it was second down, he's running the sidelines. He loses three quarters of the field, you know, because he's running himself so far over. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he does.
No, nobody's arguing that. Nobody's arguing. Whatever it is, he's a part of it. I don't think he's the whole reason why the season went the way that it did, but he's a part of it, no doubt.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I think they need a they need somebody in there. They got to do something with the offensive line as far as, you know, pulling guards and what have you, because they're not doing any of that. I mean, Jason Kelce, he used to be halfway down the field, you know, engaging linebackers, you know, before you know it, and you know, Juergens, you never see him downfield.
Well, the drop off from Juergens this year, and Doug appreciates the phone call, was pretty vast. I mean, it's pretty different. Like, maybe he's just was a full year off the back surgery, and he'll come back next year and be the Juergens he looked like early in his career.
Yeah, hopefully.
He didn't play well this year. I mean, I think
it's across the board. You know, and a part of that, you know, guys were banged up. Guys were not fully recovered from this surgery and everything. But hey, it's no excuse. Got to get ready to go.
Well, you do. I mean, but they need the offensive line next year to bounce back, especially from the run game perspective, because that's always been how this offense really runs. And without that, it's going to be hard. Mark in Woodbury Heights is up. Hey, Mark.
Guys, how you doing?
Mark, good afternoon. How we doing?
I'm okay. I just got to – first of all, I just want to say one quick thing about the Phillies, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
Bo Bichette would be exactly what this baseball team needs, along with Crawford coming up. Two guys that will hit for average and are great athletes. That's exactly what this team needs. I just have to state that, number one. I hope the Phillies make it happen.
I'm with you. Do it. Do it. Get them in here. They need it to keep up with the Dodgers and the Mets. They do. Go ahead, Mark.
I called, though, about Kevin Vituro. And listen, the offense was bad. I understand why he was let go. I get all that. But what I'm really upset about is how the people in this town have ridiculed this guy. On the news last night, even the newscasters were putting this guy down as a person, demeaning. And I thought it was disgusting. And some of these fans that they interviewed and how they talked about this guy has a family. This guy's a human being. I thought it was disgusting. And some of these people look like fools on TV.
Well, Mark, I didn't see that, but obviously I heard, you know, everything that was said on the station yesterday. I think it was too much. It was piling on, and I think it really what it's become is he's the easy one to just throw everything on, when the reality is it is definitely more than just him on why the season went the way it did.
Absolutely. I mean, the quarterback didn't play well. The wide receiver, it was a soap opera. The head coach, who's sometimes I feel like he's coaching a high school team. I mean, come on, man. I mean, listen, the guy lost his job. It's not a nice thing. It's not good. It's not a good thing. Don't pile, you know, stuff on top of him like that. He's a human being. I thought it was disgusting and a bad show for Philadelphia.
Yeah, Mark, I agree. We have a thing. There was a mob mentality. It was a mob mentality with Kevin Pitullo. And I hope for everyone out there who just truly deep down believes Pitullo held everything back, I hope you're right. I mean, I hope you're right. And the offense is just humming next season. But we just had Jason Avant in with us, right? He said he watched the game multiple times. The film, not just the game, right? Because we all watch TV copy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's stuff like we can't see on the TV copy, right? Like I mentioned a lot, the second down drove me crazy. I didn't see what Jason said. I couldn't see it that he had a slant open. I just saw Jalen bail the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Brady say he shouldn't have bailed the pocket. Now I have even more context that there's guys open and he's not throwing the ball. Jason said on every single play and outside the fourth down, there were guys open in the final drive. Every single play. That includes first down, where he ran and got tripped up. Second down, where he threw the ball out of bounds. Third down, where he missed the guy. So, like, for as much as you hate Kevin Pitullo, and we're going to, you know, just destroy the guy, his calls got guys open on every single play. I mean,
And that's why I say it's not all one thing. But in this situation, he's the guy that the newest thing on this team. And that was the one thing that had to change. That's the easiest thing to change.
Absolutely.
Because you don't make that much money.
I get it.
You know, and that's what we're talking about. He don't make that much money. And Jalen's not going anywhere. But now what's going to happen is whatever happens next, they're going to look at the quarterback differently.
Sky Marshall.
Yeah, they're going to look at the Sky Marshall differently.
Sky Marshall, who had 100-something yards and someone was open on every play. Sky Marshall. Okay, I just want to make sure we're talking about the same guy.
Aaron's still suspended, by the way.
As he needed to be.
Or you've been calling.
Has he been calling, or did he?
No.
Okay.
I think he took a suspension
seriously. You know what? That's growth. I like that. I'm glad he did that. Let's go to Andy at Spring Garden. What's up, Andy?
Hey.
Hey, Andy.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we got you.
All right. So my biggest point about this offense is that I think we're putting a lot of blame on Hurts and this being his offense, when in reality, there is so much evidence out there, whether it's Hard Knocks, whether it's him talking about being put
in the
game.
Andy, I got to stop you. Andy.
No, don't stop him. Let him go. I just want to.
Hold on.
No, but hold
on. Let him go.
All right, Andy, I'll let you finish. And then I want to bring something to your attention after you're done. Go ahead.
All right. So this is my point is, this is not what he wants. This is not the offense he wants. We can see it on the sideline. And what if this is what the Eagles want? What Howie wants? What Nick wants?
What does that mean? I'm trying to follow. What would they? Don't you think they want to score 19 points in a playoff game?
No, they think that our players are better than theirs. The X's and O's.
They
a better team.
Were.
And so let's not run anything complicated. Let's not run a West Coast offense. Let our players be their players and just be better.
So let me ask you this. So I'm trying to follow the idea, and I get it. Same GM, same coach, same quarterback in 2022 beat the crap out of teams and jumped on them by 20 points early in games. So why would the decision makers change their philosophy so much when at Jalen's best, they did nothing like that? They stomped on teams.
Defenses evolve. Like, you can't run the same offense for 3 years.
Well, so no, but now I think we're getting to it.
Now, doesn't bought in anymore.
Do you think that's more likely, or more likely is the quarterback isn't playing as well?
I agree that Hurts hasn't played well. Okay. Don't get me wrong there. But when you look at the wide receivers, there are multiple clips of receivers, quarterbacks rolling their eyes at Petullo on the sideline as he's talking to him. And it's clear that they haven't bought in. They don't think this team can win.
Yeah,
hot take, I don't think they thought they could win this year.
I agree with you on there. I just think, Annie, I'm not trying to single you out. I think we have been diagnosed. I'm going to diagnose everyone here. We have social media and internet brain. We see things and we assume that's the big picture. It's a tiny picture. It's a snapshot. Andy, I can roll my eyes at everyone that tells me Jalen's an elite quarterback when I see clips where guys are wide open and he doesn't target them. There's nuance to this, right? Like, there's more than just clips. I understand that. Just like the clips you're talking about is a clip. There's no context. You don't know what the conversation is. I don't either. But, and Andy, just one more thing, because I almost cut you off, and then Hugh said not to, and he was right. He was right. Andy, Hard Knocks is a television show that the teams have some editorial control over. Do you realize that?
Nope.
I do. And
okay.
I agree.
Nah, he does. Because you made him
all
feel
I'm saying
bad.
Is there is pieces out there that we're ignoring. And just my final point before you cut me off. On that final drive,
yes,
there were 10 plays that we ran.
Yes.
Four of those plays were plays that we ran earlier in the game. Two plays
in that same drive, bro. In that same drive.
So, Andy, if you just jumped in, it's cool. But did you hear Jason Avant with us an hour ago?
I did.
Okay. So every single play, there was someone wide open. So is the job of the coach to have 3,000 plays to make us feel better, or is to get someone open on every play?
The plays should be getting the player I looked while you guys I went back and looked while I was waiting
right.
And the windows are small all I'm saying is we're not
that's why they call them professional
out.
Football players.
So Andy,
we're not making it easy for our players.
Okay.
And it shouldn't be easy.
If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. Like, for real.
But is the job of the coach to have say I have this giant playbook so everyone says I'm smart, or is it to get someone open on every play?
Shanahan did it. We saw that no-name wide receiver go for 100 yards.
Wait a minute, Andy. I let you talk, but you could do us the courtesy at least answering the questions that's asked of you. Now answer the man question.
Of course.
Okay, answer the question
one more time.
Do you think it is the offensive coordinator's job to have a different play every play to make us feel like they have a lot of plays, or is the job to get someone open for the quarterback?
It's a combination of both. I think there should be enough complexity in the offense to help them out.
Yeah, I just don't think two-minute drills are complex time. I think it's time to just get the ball down the field as quickly as possible and as simple as possible. Like, I'm with you on Shanahan's better than anything we have here by a million miles. I get that. But two-minute drills aren't complex plays. Two-minute drills are you have to get the ball out fast.
In time. Like, that's why they're called two-minute drills.
Andy, I hear you, and I know everyone's happy Petullo's gone. That's fine. We're moving on. We're trying to get a new coordinator now. But, like, when a former NFL receiver tells me every single play until the last one someone was open, that's not on the coordinator.
All right. Your retort?
We'll just have to agree to disagree. I went back and looked, and I just didn't see it.
Well, Andy, let me tell you. You went back and looked, and you didn't know what you was looking at, respectfully. You ain't understand.
Well, I mean, I think that's Andy. At times, I don't know what I'm looking at. That's why I defer to Jason Avant, who watched it multiple times.
I do as well. Well, I mean, and it's cool. Like, listen,
Andy, good phone call, man.
What has happened is we have, especially today, especially now, because we're all in our emotions. We're not listening to what's being said.
No, well, not what, because they don't align with what we think.
No, and y'all need to stop doing that, and you need to stop coming at me on social media because I clap back. I clap back.
What happened in the New Year's resolution?
Well, I'm not getting a head coaching job, so I'm clapping back. So if you don't understand,
you got clipped today pretty good.
What's being said?
They are.
No, I'm just saying if you don't understand what's being said, I don't care because this is where I am today.
Someone
cares. Forget you, Kyle. No, but we're talking about football, and if you can't understand or follow the conversation, just stay on the sideline and let the folks that do understand it talk about it.
Okay. Let's just do this because we're on this roll, so we might as well just finish it off. Anthony in Southwest Philly. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on? Hey, you got me in there early, man.
What's going on today, what's up, folks? Anthony?
Hey, nothing. Hey, I got a question. You already touched on the part where you talked about the two-minute drill and
yes.
how there's, you know, it's basically prevent defense. So everything's going to be open, right? Like that's what happens. You're trying to take away touchdowns. So that's not a surprise, Jason saying that. Like, and I thought that Jalen in those last 8 or 9 plays, he delivered the football. My question is this. I like what happened, and my question is more so for Hugh, I guess. I like what happened with Kevin Petullo. I never thought he deserved this job, right, in the first place. That's not to say that Kevin Petullo don't know ball, right? There's a difference between knowing ball of any sport and calling plays in a game.
Totally sure. agree.
I agree.
Totally agree.
There's an art to calling plays, right? It's what makes Kyle Shanahan special. It's what makes Joe Brady special. It's what makes all of these Andy Reid, all these guys that do it at a really high level, it's what makes them special. So my question is, naming another team in the NFL right now that has a $200 million quarterback that got a Kevin Petullo as their offensive coordinator. Just one. Just name one.
What do you mean as a Kevin? Do you mean a first-year play caller?
Yeah, like a guy that has no experience doing it whatsoever, has never been asked to do it. Which other quarterback at Jalen Hurts' level has that kind of coordinator?
Well, I will say this. Like, I can't think of one, but going into this season, we were told that since Kevin Petullo was here, he knew the offense intimately, he could get the job done.
Yeah,
isn't the Bucs OC brand new?
Grizzard?
He was their pass game coordinator last year, and now is their OC. I mean, basically the Kevin Petullo thing.
So yeah, I have one for you. Now, Anthony, it turned out like Petullo, but the Bills gave Ken Dorsey the job before they fired him to promote Joe Brady. But, like, that was a $200 million quarterback that was given a Kevin Petullo kind of quarterback.
Down the stretch to get him fired, though. What did Josh Allen do in the midst of getting him fired?
What did he do?
How many interceptions did he throw in a row in certain games that led to the fire?
Sure, but like you seem like you came in with like how could the Eagles have done this, and you looked
and he gave it to you.
What I'm saying is this: I don't think that Jalen Hurts had a great year. I'll agree with you guys on that. But the point that I'm making is like, so I look at a guy like Pat Mahomes. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't go crazy on me, Hugh. I'm not saying.
I'm not the one to go crazy. Okay. That would probably be Joe.
I'm walking with you. I'm listening.
So Jalen Hurts comes into the league in 2021. Right now, could you imagine if Jalen had Shane Steichen with him in his entire career, like a you know, Pat Mahomes had with Andy, like a Ben
yeah,
Johnson.
I understand,
over with Caleb
but Williams. But Anthony, to your, I hear you. But the reason this conversation, like, I think it's a fair point. It's also a moot point. The problem here isn't Jalen or the Eagles. The problem is Nick Sirianni. right? Like, we're never keeping that guy. So Shane Steichen's good. I like Shane Steichen. Then if we get a new Shane Steichen, he's a head coach next year.
I see your point.
Right.
I
so like so the issue, the root of the issue is some Jalen, but to speak to your point on this, it's really if Sirianni doesn't call the plays, that we're never getting continuity of coordinator. It's just not gonna work.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think the only point that I was trying to make here is I get that Jalen didn't play the greatest football this year. I wasn't surprised that he didn't play the greatest football this year. If you guys don't remember it, but if you went back and listened to earlier this year, I called and I asked you, Joe, I said, who is Kevin Petula? I didn't even know he was our pass game coordinator.
Right, right.
And you told me on the call, right? So I didn't even know who he was. And I guess the point that I'm making is name another $200 million quarterback that got handed a guy like that, that a franchise took and just said, okay, this is the guy, and they went and won with that kind of guy.
Yeah, I get your point on that. They handed it to an inexperienced guy, and it went bad. I mean, the Eagles are right. You can criticize Eagles all you want for the Petula hire. I think they didn't. They should have interviewed people. It seemed like they just gave them the job, and they got bit for it. All right, 215-592-9494. Your phone calls, you people as well. Plus, we want to take a second to react to some big news from the NFL yesterday. I mean, really, like, NFL changing news and a couple funny press conference moments down in Baltimore as well. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Zillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. All right, back to your phone calls. Just a few minutes on all of this stuff, including the new OC and what the priorities should be and really what the Eagles are looking for. But Hugh, yesterday, really a monumental day in the NFL. For the first time in almost two full decades, we will go into an NFL season without Mike Tomlin on the sideline for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He stepped down yesterday. What was your reaction when you saw the Tomlin news?
I thought it was commendable. You know, they probably was going to fire him anyway. So they gave him a chance to save face. You know, people, you know, we were speculating about it. Like I told you, I sat down with my man Freddie Mitchell yesterday, and we were talking about it. And gave him a chance to save face, man. He's been a good coach, but that fan base has been clamoring for him to be fired for years because they limp into the playoffs. And they always, you know, get blown out and leave. So that's not his fault. You can't get a quarterback going to the playoffs every year like that, not having a franchise-changing quarterback. So he did what was best for him.
Yeah. Look, he was a great coach. Now, to your point on, I actually think how good he was his detriment at the end. Because they never bottomed out, right?
Like, no, they never did.
Right, just like think about the last 6 or 7 years. They were always around that 9-7, 9-8, right? Always made the playoffs.
Yep.
And they never got a top 10 pick. And just think about one of these years, right? Like, let's pretend 5 years ago, right? They bottom out and they get a Burrow or they get a Justin Herbert,
might
right?
Be in a different situation.
Of course. I mean, like, I think they'd be a better situation, right? And they've been piecemeal and quarterback together. So obviously an all-time kind of coach. And now it sounds like he is going to do TV. He's got to take a year off. He's going to do TV. I'm sure. I think he's going to be good on television. He strikes me as a good personality.
I do too, man. He has a good motivating way of speaking. I wish him nothing but the best, man. I have a tremendous amount of respect for him. Haven't met him, but I remember when he started out, man, because him and Sean McDermott went to what? William and Mary. They went to school together, man. Yep. And I remember Sean telling stories about him. So congratulations to him. At that point when he got the job, was one of the youngest head coaches in the NFL. Had a nice run, man. But, you know, the message got stale. And the fan base got tired of it. So they had to move on.
Do you think he ever comes back? I mean, sometimes these guys go to TV. I mean, Bill Probably Cowher not. Was in his 40s, and every year was like, oh, Bill Cowher's going to come back. Never left TV.
No. I remember that, man, because I remember when there was some talk about potentially, you know, the Eagles looking for a head coach. I think before Chip Kelly got hired, had a chance to talk to Coach Cowher and ask him, would he coach here? He said the only team that he would want to coach is the Pittsburgh Steelers. So thinking Coach Tomlin being in the same vein, man, it's a special thing when you talk about certain individuals, Brandon Graham, Mike Tomlin, Bill Cowher, to only be with one organization when there's so much change in the NFL on a year-to-year basis, that's a pretty big deal, man. I mean, that's all we all want to be in one place our whole career. Unfortunately, it doesn't work out that for a whole lot of people, but you're talking about three different individuals that was the exact case for them. So that's pretty rare.
Yeah, I imagine all next year it will be the, you know, whatever teams are bad, like, oh, will they get Tomlin? Maybe, but I wouldn't be surprised if I'm sure he'll get paid very handsomely to do TV. If he's like, this is way easier. I just got to work one day a week and sit here on a set with these other guys and talk about the games. We'll see if he ever coaches again, but obviously a great coach. All right, so while the Tomlin news came down, they were doing the end-of-season press conference down in Baltimore. It's the first time the owner, Steve Bisciotti, has spoken since he fired John Harbaugh last week. Here is his reaction finding out during that press conference that the Steelers had fired Mike Tomlin.
He did? Is it official?
That's what I keep hearing. So is he a candidate here?
Holy Mike, wouldn't that be awesome? Only if John takes the Pittsburgh job. Wow, wouldn't that be interesting? I don't know. That thing last week maybe disqualified him for my opening after our kicker missed a kick to let them advance. Good for Mike.
It was pretty funny hearing him react to it live. He's like, holy bleep. Just like, I mean, I imagine most people had the same reaction. Like, wait, Tomlin's out? And then they asked him if he would hire him. So there was more to this. Listen to this. So Hugh, the Ravens fire Harbaugh, right? After, I think he was there 18 years, Tomlin 19, like basically the same time.
By the way, how was Zach Taylor the last guy there?
In the AFC North? I know. Last man standing. It's wild. Probably the worst coach in the division is the only one left. So Bisciotti's doing his press conference, and he brought up that field goal, right? Because Tyler Lute missed the field goal. Mm-hmm. Steelers win the division. Ravens fire John Harbaugh. So I think it was a good question. Like, wait, what if you guys won that game? Would John Harbaugh still be the coach of the Ravens? Here's what Steve Bisciotti said.
If Tyler Lue makes that field goal, is John Harbaugh still here coaching this team?
For a week.
For a week. Okay.
So he was done with John Harbaugh.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, Hugh. For a week?
Yeah.
That means he was fired no matter what happened this season.
Yeah, I have my thoughts on that. But I think that, you know, listening to some of the cats that I know that are, you know, we have this group chat, that he was done. I think Coach Harbaugh was done at the beginning of the season. I think he lost the locker room. That's what I'm hearing.
It very well may have been. You know what's interesting? We always do things like, hey, if this happens, would that have changed the timeline? With these organizations, sometimes they make the decision way before we do, right? Like, we had that discussion last week. Could Petullo, I don't know, save his job or, you know, win you back over? I mean, who knows? The Eagles may have been done with Petullo regardless of what happened.
Foles was saying, I think on that same podcast from that clip we played, that, like, the Eagles have probably been doing the research on their next OC for quite a while.
Of course. Yeah. When they had, you know, when they didn't score and then complete a pass for a half, they probably were thinking, maybe we need to do this. So we live day to day. They live way bigger picture. I mean, you have an owner basically saying, if we made the playoffs, I still was firing the coach. It didn't matter. That, and he was very strong about it. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's go to Robert in Collegeville. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Robert. What's up?
Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Man, it was a pleasure listening to Jason Avant. He was really breaking it down. That was awesome.
It was really, I mean, he brought perspective that I hadn't thought of, and the way he broke those plays, and I agree, it was fun to have him in.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, you know what? Before I make my point, it was hilarious to listen to Shady McCoy. I love Shady. He's one of my favorite players. But he has some of the worst takes. And I'll tell you what I mean.
Wait a minute, let me finish. Robert, I will let you finish, but let me ask you this question first. What makes his take bad?
I'll tell you exactly, Hugh. So, since last year, everybody on that show, he used to go with Emmanuel Acho, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had been telling him about Jalen, and Shady would, like, vehemently defend Jalen, saying all he does is win, you know, the usual take with Jalen. And he would disregard and reject anything anybody said about, hey, I've heard this, Jalen has shown he's not interested in taking those shots, and now he's got the same insight, and he's making it known as it's like breaking news. So I just thought it was funny Because I love Shady.
Okay, wait a minute. Can
I,
let me finish.
I kind of get
finish.
What he's saying. Like, finish, he's changed.
No, but let me finish, Robert, because you're long talking a little bit. Next time I ask you a question, I need you to compress that a little bit.
Sure,
but here's
sure.
the thing. How many NFL players do you talk to on a regular basis?
Zero.
Okay, well, so you're talking to one right now.
No, but yeah, you are. But my point is this, Robert, and I'm not trying to diminish what you're saying about Shady, but information changes, right? And as the season progresses, the information changes that Shady gets. And the reason why he probably waited as long as he did, because he wanted to make sure that he vetted the information that he got. So I'm just pushing back on the terrible take, because even though he was the biggest Jalen defender, as the season progressed, didn't the team get worse?
Yeah.
No, that's a valid point.
That's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is this, man. Don't shoot the messenger because you don't like the message.
Unless it's you.
Yeah, you can shoot this messenger. Yeah. Yeah. But no, and I'm not trying to jump on you, Robert, but I think that as fans, we're all fans of the Philadelphia Eagles. Even the guys that don't play for the Eagles that play for the Eagles. We're all fans of this team, and we all, at the end of the day, want to see this team do good. But
yeah, no, absolutely. You bring a great point.
Yeah, and we have to take the information that we get and just take it for what it is instead of attacking the messenger. That's all I want to say. That's it.
Right. I love Shady. He's one of my favorite players. But anyway, I want to move on to my point. So mm-hmm. I know KP got fired, which was, I think, inevitable, even though we don't know if it's his fault or not. We'll never know until somebody retires and writes a book, I guess, right?
Yeah, hopefully he don't get the job back so we can hear the skinny on what happened for real.
I agree with you there, Hugh, 100%. But I also want to talk about Sirianni and Jalen, right? Mm-hmm. So I think Sirianni got lazy this year. That's my opinion. And right, and he's being absolved from a lot of the blame. He did a terrible job of coaching. And one of the biggest indictments is that, okay, if you want to run a risk-averse offense, Howie Roseman got traded for and got you Tank Bigsby. You barely used him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in the one game against Washington where Bigsby was working and he might have won the game for you, you took him out in the fourth quarter. It completely changed the whole game. Like, why is he – nobody questioned him. Like, why did you take Bigsby out? He had 16 rushes for 76 yards. And a touchdown. I don't think he should have a huge say in hiring. I think they should take his opinion. But, you know, I don't think he has the leverage right now to really, because he's going to want to have an offensive coordinator in his own image. We know that.
I agree. Yeah. And I think it's going to be, I think they should do what you're saying and just pick the coordinator. And then if he doesn't like that, then he's got to live with it. Robert, it's a good call. And I think he's right on the overall point that Sirianni's gotten away a little scot-free a good season.
He has. Yeah. He has, because this was your guy. That's why the Eagles made him go downstairs and tell him he couldn't spend the night. You got
to tell him to go home.
Yeah, you got to go.
Positive Kevin in Cranford, New Jersey's up. Hey, Positive Kevin.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I am so happy about this firing. I mean, I was so happy when the news came out that I celebrated Diddy style, baby, with a bunch of women and baby oil. I am so happy.
That joke didn't land like you thought it would, dog. No. For real.
Listen, I'm so happy that this happened. 4 weeks ago, I called in and we all saw the writing on the wall. When they started using Dallas Goedert as a fullback, you know the scheme was broken. I mean, it was truly broken. The scheme didn't fit the quarterback. And that's what it came out to.
What scheme fits the quarterback right now?
RPO.
He doesn't run. He doesn't run anymore, Kevin.
But they didn't use it that much, Joe.
Wait.
Why not?
Why?
Well, I mean, there's only one. There's only a handful of people that can tell us why.
No, I know. But every time we do this, like, I think we're just missing the obvious. So, like,
hold on, Joe.
Do you think the coaches don't realize his legs can help them win games?
Yes. They do realize that it can
help them win games. Okay, so they realized that would help. And yes. Still didn't do it.
But, Joe, they did this back in 22, right? Mm-hmm. They ran out of RPO yards by season. 22, they have 1498 with Steichen.
Steichen.
Yes. Then in 2023 with Johnson, 827 yards with the RPO. Then 2024 with Moore, 1733. Then 2025, 620 yards.
Right.
I mean, there's a big difference.
It's a huge difference, but I'm with you. I mean, I saw the same thing you did. It just feels like there is an assumption that the coaches saw something that worked and said, let's throw it in the trash and lose games instead. Like, don't you think there's a missing piece to the puzzle?
Yes.
Okay.
And I honestly think this is just in my opinion. I just find it odd. In 2022, they did it so well. Then when I can't say his name, I apologize.
Steichen.
Yeah. When he left, right? And then it was Nick Sirianni, mm-hmm. and Brian
Johnson. I wish it was Ben Johnson. That would have been better. Yeah.
No, it was their offense. They ran less RPO.
Yeah.
Right. And then Moore came in after they put Nick in the closet, right? They ran more RPOs. And then it's back to Nick and Kevin Petullo. They ran less RPO. So who's the outlier?
Well, you could make the point on who's the coordinator change. And Kevin, it's a good phone call, and I understand your point. There also was, and I know when we don't like things, we just ignore them, but there was a report from multiple different reporters out of different outlets, right? Like, so they're not sharing information. Like, one guy writes for Philly Voice, one guy writes for The Inquirer, Jimmy Kemsky and Jeff McClain, that both heard that Jalen expressed he didn't want to run as much this year. So, see, like, there's a missing piece of the puzzle.
People are missing that part of it.
Could that piece fit the puzzle? That's why they didn't do it.
No, because those are lies.
Okay, honestly. I got you. Anyway, let's hear from you people, see what they're up to today.
You people. Time to hear from you people. What do you mean, you people?
You've had worse days than you people, Hugh, than today. I promise.
I ain't worried about that.
A lot of different names thrown out there for OC suggestions from you people. We'll get to those.
Good.
new one, though. There was a guy trying to sell a Hugh Douglas autographed hat in the chat.
How much?
No takers. No takers.
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I'm not hurting for no cash. So, I mean,
I don't think any of the money was ever going back to you.
Okay.
It was this guy trying to make money off your name.
I guess he's trying to. He probably would get more money if he tried to sell a hat with his name on it.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Go for it.
Tell me how much. I'll buy it. We'll put it in the studio. I'll wear it.
you idiots just won't quit.
With what?
I don't know. Maybe just doing the show every day.
Why would we quit?
We won't. No.
As long as they keep letting us come in here, we're going to come be back.
As long as they
key card works.
Yeah.
just say you guys think Tanner McKee is better.
Well, that's not what anyone said. I mean,
you know what?
No one ever said anything.
Nobody said that. They just hired the offensive coordinator, and we're sitting here workshopping what potentially could happen next. What did you miss?
A lot. I mean,
as always, Quinn really just does not have the slightest clue.
What did you do today that made them think that?
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I'm the one that said I want a coordinator that's going to work with Jalen.
And that's why you don't have a clue.
God forbid. God forbid.
Clueless.
Yep. Clueless Quinn over here. Remember I told you guys a while ago they had there was a Jolly impersonator in the chat?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. He's been there every day. He's in the chat every day.
Sure, Jolly impersonator.
We're sure it's not Jolly himself?
I'm pretty positive.
Okay.
Yeah. There was that moment we had that call with Kristen, who came at Hugh pretty heavily.
She came at his neck. I mean, she did.
And
yeah.
Jolly was wondering if you wanted him to come down here with some pepper spray for Hugh.
I don't think that was necessary.
Nah, Hugh can hold his own.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on down, Jolly.
You want Jolly here?
Yeah, come on. I'm getting ready to go. Now, let me take that back because Rob.
No, I think he was coming to defend you. Jolly doesn't want to fight you.
No. Jolly was going to help you out.
Yeah, and this is a fake Jolly.
Oh, no, I'm just saying. No, I'm good. I'm good. Man, Kristen was all right. I thought I read that wrong.
Okay.
I was being.
It's okay.
Rod, the boss, don't like. Blue Jeans don't like when I do stuff.
No, speaking of, Hugh needs guidance.
I mean, I've heard that before. We've lost Joe.
Never got that guidance.
Something tells me he's been told those words many times.
As much.
Yep. Hugh Douglas was a backup.
What is that?
Not
even
true.
Mean?
It just wasn't true.
I
don't get that one.
No, you came in right away and started and won Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
No.
Not a backup.
Just Sometimes people look at the sky and think it's green and the grass and they think it's blue. And you just
think, if you think that's delusion, damn, didn't Hugh used to have dreadlocks?
No.
You never had that. That was never your look.
Mm-mm.
You had a little bit of a fro going when you played.
I had some braids at one point, but not dreadlocks.
There was you when you were playing, you had a little bit of the fro thing.
Yeah,
going,
I had
right?
a little fro. Okay. Yeah, had a fro.
Never dreadlocks.
Though. Never dreadlocks.
Yep. We're really listening to Hugh after what Willie Rofe did to him.
We know a story that I told you, I forgot about that teabag. Oh, I can't say that one. The drunk dump that guy, dump that one.
Well, the camera, there was cameras everywhere. It's not like you unveiled this secret to everybody. Anyone who went back and watched that game would have seen what Willie Rofe did.
Yeah, he violated me. That sounded even worse than the last one thing I just said.
Oh, that's going to be a drop. Yeah, that's going to be a drop.
I've been violated. I've played with guys. That sounds bad.
All right, let's get to some of these suggestions here. Mike McCarthy, which is a tame one, but I'm out on. John Ritchie, Elliot, not Hugh Douglas.
Anybody but me.
Doug Peterson.
Now, Doug P's got my attention.
Nick Foles.
Foles is a fun one.
Chip Kelly.
No.
Brian Johnson again.
Chip Kelly. Didn't Chip Kelly mail it in?
Yeah. Kevin Petullo with a mustache.
Now, that would be funny.
A fake Kevin Petullo.
Sirianni rolls him back out. This is my new offensive coordinator.
And finally, the lady that Hugh shouted out five times last Friday.
Oh, you're talking about the lady?
Yeah.
Shout out to that lady. It was a great time last week.
Maybe Kristen who called in.
Kristen?
Maybe Kristen. I thought Kristen.
Now it would be bad for the team. I acknowledge this. But how fun us if it was Elliot.
That would be amazing.
I mean, imagine ripping Elliot every day, every caller. Sure, Parks is a moron.
And then he would defend every decision.
Of course
that
he would. Yeah.
Call into the morning show and get into a fight for 25 minutes about all of his decisions.
I only have one issue with the Nick Foles one. I mean, it'd be great. It'd be cool, right?
You can't tarnish his legacy.
I know. It's like
Doug's too, really.
How long you think it would be?
Would call for his firing instantly.
No,
yeah, that's what I was about. You know what I was about to
ask. I'm with you on Doug, but we've already ripped Doug. Like, Doug's the head coach, right? He's gone through the gamut of it. I don't want to do that to Nick. I don't want to sit here and say Nick's a moron when he has a bad game, or people calling and say Nick's a moron.
I don't want to live in that world either.
I think it's why teams generally don't hire like former greats as their coach or manager, because you have to fire them one day. It becomes awkward. Doug Peterson, bring him back.
Dougie P? No, I think that bridge is burned.
I don't know. I mean, this happens sometimes in the NFL now.
On Nick, another Super Bowl winning coach.
I know.
On his staff.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, people will be calling for Doug to take the team over by week three. We all know that would happen. All right, that is the end of us for today, for the show, for this
the
afternoon.
The end of us is crazy.
Yep. You do any more 3D printing today?
You know, I'm going to try. I have to figure out the filament, because the filament that I use now, the PLA, is a little too hard. So I have to
I know exactly what you're talking
about. No, I'm just saying, in order to put in snap-on pieces, I need to figure out what kind of filament to use to actually snap pieces into place. But I'm having a blast. I need to find me a filament family, a 3D printer family.
What do you mean, a family?
Awesome. Like people that can tell me how to, you know, do different things, like a clan. I need a printer clan.
All right, dump it. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Afternoon Joe next on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Peace.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.